Good morning, wonderful listeners. You've tuned into Post Session Podcast, a podcast filled with the stoke of a surf session and the wise guidance of an ocean voyager. Your water-loving hosts are ready to share this infectious state of mind while encouraging and inspiring you
for your next adventure.
Welcome to Post Session Podcast, and I want to introduce to you a couple of our guests. We have three guests this morning. Ashley, that's a lot.
Oh my gosh, I don't want to talk about it.
How hard it was to set it up.
Yeah, we have four mics, but we have three girls on one mic because we only have three mic cords.
Yeah, anyway.
But we good. Everything's good.
So let me introduce, we've got Emily, fondly named Grom. She is a world traveler surfing. She's been to multiple places. I can't even name all the places that she's been, but anytime that I said I'd been somewhere, she'd also been there and kind of one-upped me like the girl in Saturday Night Live skit.
Not cool. Not cool.
Okay, then we've got Jules. I believe her first surf trip was Post Session Podcast surf trip.
She's a baller.
Heck yeah.
Yeah.
And then, then last but not least, we have Miss Charlotte Barton, who is going on the next Post Session Podcast surf trip, which is next week.
Okay, but it would have been a few weeks ago by the time these guys hear this.
Well, then they can say, whoop, whoop, nice waves, Grom. I mean, Charlotte.
A little, I don't know any of these girls, but interesting tidbit. I tried to call Grom by her regular name. Uh-huh. I was like pretty uncomfortable calling her Grom. So I said, can you just tell me what your real name is? And
she said Grom.
She said that at graduation, when you walked across the stage, they called you Grom.
Yeah, my mom was not happy about
that. Yeah, I was
that.
About to say, yeah. I bet your mom was not into that.
Not at all. No. Yeah, but no, like all my professors call me Grom. Like people don't even know my real name.
So. But I do.
You do.
Yeah.
But you're not allowed social to use
media,
it.
Social media. Social media.
Instagram.
Got it out of me. Yeah.
All right. Well, how about we do what we normally do, Laurel? How about we start with some post-session notes? And I think in post-session notes, instead of everybody talking about their last surf, let's talk about Puerto Rico in general as a surf destination. That would be kind of cool. We're going to do Injustice of the Week, which hopefully one of these girls has something to contribute. We're going to dive deeper and get into the heart of the matter and talk about how traveling to do something you love can be formative and how can it can pull the best out of your potential and all those things. Hopefully that's what they'll be saying. Otherwise we're going to scrap this. And then we're going to tread into some God waters. You've got some prepared. Maybe leave them with homework.
Okay. Sounds great.
All right then.
She knows I have nothing written under homework or Devo.
But this will be, you said the Christmas episode potentially, right?
Da, 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 da.
So I think the Devo, hey man.
We got it.
Just flip to the Gospels and let's rock and roll.
Okay. Well, let's start out with some post-session notes. So we're going to talk about Puerto Rico as a surf destination and maybe how it compares to some of your other travels, if you've done some other surf travel.
Yeah. Or how it compares to here, if you haven't.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Why don't you start? Because, I mean, you've been going to Puerto Rico for years with Dawn, and why do you guys go there? Why not fly to Hawaii?
Well, funny you would mention Hawaii because they do call Puerto Rico Hawaii East. And so,
are the Hawaiian, everybody in Hawaii is rolling their eyes right now.
Exactly. Exactly. But you know what? If you live anywhere on the East Coast of the United States, the trip to Hawaii is long and arduous.
It is long.
And expensive.
It is.
So right now, and of course, COVID is part of this, why the flights are so cheap. Normally, we probably pay $300 to fly to Puerto Rico.
Round trip?
Yeah.
That still ain't bad.
It ain't bad?
No.
But right now, we're paying $200 or $170 round trip out and, you know, out of Raleigh. So it's an inexpensive place to go. The flight that we're taking next week is a 3-hour and 15-minute flight to San Juan.
You mean direct from
Rarity, Raleigh?
You're not going to Myrtle Beach?
No. Yeah. I hear some smiles coming from the peanut gallery.
easy. I'm jealous that your next one's direct. That makes it so awesome.
Super awesome. You know, I just want to add in there that I did the trip to Hawaii with Ani when she was 6 weeks old.
Oh, wow. That sounds scary.
It was. I was terrified. But actually, I wasn't because I was, you know, a young mother. Like, I didn't know that I should be terrified. So I'm thinking, sweet, let's just do it, blah, blah, blah. And everyone's super cool, though. They always gave us a row of three, so we had a little extra space.
Oh, how much was your flight? Do you remember?
I didn't pay for it. I don't know.
Was that your parents?
No. Oh. Did I give you the impression that your my parents just fly me to Hawaii? Did I give you the wrong impression
somewhere? I think so.
It was work. We went diving.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, when did you first do your first dive work trip? Like, was that pre-Ani? Obviously it was. Yeah,
totally.
Okay.
Yeah. What about you girls? Puerto Rico as a surf destination, how does it measure up?
Maybe we'll start with Grom.
Okay. I love Puerto Rico. I think I agree with you, Laurel, about the traveling rather going there than Hawaii because the trip is so much shorter. And I feel like not only is it shorter, but like it's close to the same weather patterns that we're used to. And I know that sounds silly, but it's kind of nice to be able to like know what the surf report is going to be. Like when you're in Hawaii, I feel like it's like all over the place and it's harder to read, but like we just went to Surfline the entire trip and it's like kind of the same sort of, you look for the same like winds and same swells. So I liked that for surfing.
It was more familiar.
Yeah. Some familiarity.
Very familiar. Yeah.
That is huge. Mm-hmm. Home court advantage. Am I right, Jules?
You're right. You know, home court advantage. And you're calling it.
Well, what about you? What stands out about Puerto Rico as a destination?
For me, so like you said, my background is kind of in basketball and sports related travel. And so what was special about this trip to me was just like all of my previous trips were kind of like business trips. Like we're getting in there, trying to get a dub and then get out, get home, get back to work. And this was like really fun and relaxing. And like the flight was not bad, everything. It's just like a little piece of paradise, like 3 hour flight down there. Just beautiful. Waves were firing. Like it was unbelievable. I'm psyched to go back.
I think we're going to get into some of that a little bit and dive deeper, right? About, you know, being able to travel and chill and having that time.
Yeah, to focus on surfing. Or I just want to say Jules, who is with us today, went on the last surf trip, what was 3 weeks ago? Mm-hmm. And she's going again next week.
That's I told you, I'm psyched to get back down there. Like, I had such a great trip. I'm ready to go back.
That's because she ain't got no job.
She's a glutton. A surf glutton.
Whoa. I don't know if everyone needs to know that yet.
I'm gonna text my friend, right? Oh, Rhett King, if you're listening, I'm going to text you in just a minute and tell you to hire this girl and see how it works out.
Yeah. So we can podcast about that afterwards.
Yeah.
I was going to say, maybe by the time the podcast comes out, you'll be working.
Yeah.
Should we let Charlotte talk?
I think we should definitely invite Charlotte into the conversation.
Charlotte, you've been surfing here in Wilmington.
For how long?
I got my first surfboard from Costco when I was 12.
Okay. So she's been surfing longer than I thought.
Been in the water longer than I thought. I wouldn't say I was consistent until I got my license.
Okay.
And then I was
12. Wait, how old are you now?
I'm 19.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for the heads baby. Up there.
You're like, I thought you were like 30. No.
Okay. So, well, she looks young, just like Grom.
Sorry, I have to turn the mic. I was going to say, the first time we hung out, like outside of just getting coffee or surfing, I was like, you want a drink? And she was like, I'm 19. And I was like, what? Okay. I'm sorry.
Well, how old is everybody? I think I need to know before I step in a big old pile of poop or something.
I'm 20. This is Grom and I'm 25.
25. Okay.
Jules, I'm 23.
23. Yeah, we got you, Charlotte. All right, cool. So why Puerto Rico?
I was in Casablanca coffee a while ago, and I saw Laurel, which I do every single time I go. Love that. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I saw your Instagram pictures. They're beautiful. And I remember saying, I was like, oh, like, I've been wanting to go on a surf trip for a while. And I just was like speaking that like very generally because I wanted to, like, I heard Nicaragua was amazing, like all these different places. She's like, oh, well, like, we're going to Puerto Rico in a couple weeks, like maybe like put the feelers out there. And I was like, oh, so really I had no particular, like, I'm not knowledgeable about Puerto Rico, but she invited me and I was like, absolutely.
I think that's a pretty safe first trip too.
Exactly.
Nicaragua's exactly. Up in, it's like a hot spot right now.
Right. Exactly.
All right, cool. Well, what else, Laurel?
Well, I wouldn't say there's, well, go ahead.
Oh, wait, you were going to ask Charlotte how she's preparing for the trip for some post-session notes. Because yeah. These girls have a taste of it. Mm. How are you preparing? And if you're not preparing, you should be honest here.
Mm. ways I'm not preparing, I haven't packed yet. Haven't done anything. I'm kidding. I am trying to get all of my schoolwork done that is due while we're down there. And so, so if we're just being practical. No, I've definitely been asking a lot of people. Like, more people than I realize have been down there, and so mm-hmm. they've just been like, I've just been like, be honest, like, what was your, you know, like, what were some fears you had that you like got over or whatever. Talking to Brie was great mm-hmm. too, because like mm-hmm. we've surfed a ton together mm-hmm. And like learned a lot definitely over the summer. So I think asking people would be like
to know what to expect
exactly when you get there. And like they're honest, like, because like some like, oh, like this aspect is gonna be scary because you're used to surfing at Riceville, which is very low risk, you know.
Mm-hmm. You know, sometimes it's best not to know, like,
true.
You give birth, you know that jump's gonna hurt, but no one tells you
how bad
it's the worst pain you'll ever experience. Yeah. You'll think you're done. Because that's not productive.
True.
So
true.
Maybe.
That's why I'm glad I'm going with these girls who have been before. And they're like, I'll just like, you know, go along with them. And they'll be like, yeah, you know. Because if I was going myself, that would be. Or like with people who had never gone before. That's why I was like so gung-ho. Like, yes, like this is going to be an absolutely great opportunity to go on a first surf trip.
Yeah.
So, and I do think that matters of, you know, having people that have been before, especially when you're just not at your home break.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Some knowledge.
Yeah. I know Jules was real, like, one of the things on the trip was, like, what's your etiquette going to be in this new break or new country that you haven't surfed before? And what's the attitude you need to have? And I felt like she was super conscientious to defer to locals for a wave. Yeah. And she's super competitive. So I remember like, just like, wow, okay, Jules is really holding back a little. What do you think?
You could never go wrong taking the posture of humility in a new spot, new people.
What do you think, Jules?
Yeah, definitely. Before we went down there, I was a little nervous about that. I'd heard some stories about some of the localism when the waves are firing. So I did not want to step on any toes. So I took a step back. I wanted to get as close to the peak as I could and get the waves that I wanted, but definitely didn't want to ruffle any feathers down there. So I relaxed the first couple of days, and then Laurel let me loose on the last day. And I was psyched. I was like, get me over there to the peak. Let me compete a little bit. But
yeah. On the last day, Laurel goes, all right, Jules, let it loose. And Jules just like paddles as fast as she could to the peak. It was so funny.
She did. She like, I was like paddling away from our little group just to separate out. And Laurel's like, Jules. And I was like, oh my gosh, am I in trouble? And she paddles over to me and whispers, you can compete today. And I was like, oh yeah. And like paddled away, like so psyched, ready to get over there.
She did not whisper that. She yelled it across the whole crowd.
Yeah. I think I said, go for it, Jules.
Yeah. But that permission was all you needed.
It was. I knew I had that reassurance. I was like, Laurel's got my back if anything goes wrong.
You think? Laurel's gone. Yeah. I went to get coffee. Where are you?
I told you to go for it. The coffee.
Well, we were at a place that when you looked around, you could tell it was all tourists. There were no locals. Maybe I wouldn't have counted 5 locals.
But you know what?
And they weren't surfing well. So
to all you locals out there and to you girls who are locals here, you expect strangers in a new land to take this humble approach. But you also have to have a generous approach in return.
Yeah.
So let's all get along, you know?
I definitely agree with that. Sorry, Laurel. Some of the locals that I did meet out there were super nice. Like, they had no problem just opening up and telling me a little bit about themselves and just the break itself. They gave me a few waves, and honestly, they made me feel really welcome out there. And that was, I didn't expect that going in at all, but they were really cool people. I hope I see some of them when I go back down there again.
Yeah. Except they said it all in Spanish, and so she thinks they were saying, come. Really, they were going, go back to your homeland. You are still in my way.
Well, and I probably added to the, like, freak out, because the first time I was in Puerto Rico, I went with my family, and my brother is a very good surfer, but he was like a punk kid. He was like 15 or 16, like throwing airs on these like 2-foot waves. And we got yelled at by some locals, and they were like, we're going to slash your tires if you don't chill out. And so when we were on our way down, I was like, oh my God, you guys, like, we need to be like so nice. Like, we need to not take anyone's waves. And then we show up, and I think potentially having a group of girls really sets people at ease rather than like this like teenage boy that's like taking everyone's waves. So
right.
I think that helps a lot.
He needed somebody to remind him to be respectful.
Right. He did. And I think a lot of the young surfers need that too. So.
Yeah. At our break.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
We've talked about this multiple times. Yeah. People need to be parented by the community.
Yeah. And I mean, if you imagined that, and Wrightsville Beach does have a lot of tourists come and a lot of surfers come. But, you know, if you were in a tropical island where there's the limited amount of, you know, and planefuls of people landed every day to surf your waves, you'd be a little like, you know, about coming right to the peak or taking advantage.
Definitely.
I mean, even here where planefuls of people do not come, I'm still a little like, okay, give us our waves.
All right.
Should we ask about the injustice?
It's time for the injustice of the week.
Wow, that was an amazing intro to that. I feel like my injustice isn't that great.
We'll tell you.
We'll let you know.
All right. Well, my injustice, I came up with very quickly because I didn't know it needed to be humorous. I decided.
No, if you have one that you're comfortable with, don't listen to Laurel. You just tell us. We'll talk about it.
No. I'll make it the second one. I think it's a good one. I think this
Psycho
is.
Psycho killer.
I think this is a relevant one. It has to do with COVID-19. And for Thanksgiving, I know a lot of people saw their families and like went home. And my injustice was that this COVID-19 thing is really bringing out your dumb friends because my friend, I made all my friends get tested before I saw them in Florida. And I was like, guys, like, I'm not hanging out with anyone. You got to get tested. He was like, okay, cool. So one of my best friends goes and gets tested, comes back negative. And he's like, great, I'm negative. Let's hang out. Well, a week later, I have to quarantine because he ends up having it. And I was like, what happened, dude? Like, you said you had a negative test. And he was like, oh, yeah, well, I was exposed the day before, but I don't know why the test came back negative. And I was like, are you joking? He was like, yeah, my roommate had it on Friday and I got tested on Saturday. So I don't know what happened. And I was like, dude, you got to wait like at least a week. And so he got literally all of our friends sick. I didn't get sick, but most of our friends got sick. A lot of their families got sick, all because he doesn't know how to read like instructions on like COVID sites. So I think that's the injustice.
That's a good one.
That is a good one because we haven't talked about that.
No, we haven't. And you know what's encouraging to me is that this age range that you guys are in is conscientious about your, you know, propensity to spread it faster than people that are just with their families most of the time or, you know. Yeah. So that's kind of cool.
I think that there's like a weird I think regionally it really matters because I will say all my friends in Florida like do not care. And so when I went down to Florida, I was like, you are all getting tested before I hang out with any of you.
You know, it's so funny you say that because I just got back from Florida. We were not in South Florida though. We were in like the Springs area. Okay. So
yeah, I'm from Jacksonville, which is like very
okay,
north.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Well, we were in High Springs, which is just west of Gainesville. Anyway, probably know that. We get there and Ren and I are like, holy crap. COVID doesn't exist here. There's no COVID in Florida.
No.
I mean, no masks. Not like we were outnumbered everywhere we went.
Wow.
People give you dirty looks if you're wearing. I went to the grocery store and this like 80-year-old man gave me a dirty look. And I was like, dude, you are not going to make it if you don't wear your mask. What are you doing?
It is funny. You're right. It's a regional thing. Because here there's not that kind of hostility, not that blatant hostility, but there.
Either way.
I mean, some maybe, but. There, it was strange.
And then the north, it's like the opposite, where it's like, if you don't wear it, like, you're a terrible human.
Right, you know? Right. You're, yeah, right.
Trying to kill everybody.
Right. Injecting
you're a mass murder.
AIDS.
Right, exactly.
With a needle.
I think we're in a good in between here, maybe.
Yeah.
I think so, too.
Yes. North Carolina is the best.
Because I don't really think it's necessary to be running outside with a mask.
No.
Or exercising outside, you know, unless you're on a team.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's team sports, but like.
That's asinine.
Tell us how you really think.
But then again, you know, look at us here. We're unmasked in this setting because we're, I feel like in here where we live, we use something called common sense.
Mm-hmm.
And if we've been exposed, we stay home. We don't do this. We're trusting that everybody's making the right choices so that we're all safe together.
Well, and you know what? I think this is like a good testament to like Jules, because the other day I was like, oh, like, let's go hang out with some of our friends that we just met. And she's like, you know what? Like, I actually don't feel comfortable hanging out with these people. They're great. But like, I don't know them very well and I don't trust their judgment on like they've been probably hanging out with a lot of people. Mm. And she's like, we should probably avoid them. And I think that's really
Jules,
smart.
Jules the Girl Scout.
Yeah.
Well, they had like a COVID scare like a couple weeks back. And it just kind of got me thinking like we're just too close to like holidays and family time. And like, I really don't want to jeopardize some of that because I haven't been able to see some of my family that I would like to see, especially like as we're coming up on Christmas and the other holidays.
Super responsible.
I'm a Girl Scout. Something. I'm they're a Girl in their Scout. 20s. And I
we're probably less responsible than them about this.
And think about when we were in our 20s. If COVID had happened when we were in our 20s.
Yeah.
I will say some of my friends are like out partying. So okay. I think the majority of people our age are not like that. Yeah.
These are superb human beings that we have with us.
You can't surf if you have COVID.
Exactly.
That's true. So. Yeah, it takes you down and then you got nothing.
2 weeks is a long time to be out for the count. I mean,
yeah.
I don't know.
With everything, school, work, surfing. Okay, so final question to wrap up the injustice though.
Okay.
Vaccine, you getting that thing? We're doing it?
Oh God, I kind of want to wait until some other people get it. Except for like, I'm in a position that I would probably be, because I'm in mental health and I'm working with people every day. So I'm probably going to be on the frontline worker list. And I kind of would like to just see the first round of people get it and, you know.
I'll do it.
Make sure they're cool.
Yeah, I'll do it.
I'll be in the first round.
Same.
Yeah.
I'm hesitant.
I'm definitely not in the first round because I'm pretty sure like 20 to 30 is like gonna be the last people for sure. Yeah.
I mean, if Puerto Rico says you have to have one to come, I'll be the first in line.
Uh-huh.
That's it.
Uh-huh.
We know Laurel's priorities right
there. Now, your mom would want you to have one.
I know. She already wants me to have a flu shot.
Well.
I don't do it.
Listen to your mommy.
I haven't had the flu. I mean, I'm not saying that I wouldn't get
this it. This ain't the flu shot, though. This is different.
Yeah.
Flu shot. I never get the flu shot either. It's like, all right, you get the flu, you get sick, you get over it. Coronavirus, though, I'm ready to stop this nonsense.
Well,
I'm not
too
interested in this little dance we've been doing.
Let's end the dance. Get the vaccine.
I got it for the first time last year, too. I'd never get it. But, like, someone I was nannying, and they were like, oh, like, we're more comfortable if you have it. Because they didn't want, like, the baby. And I was like, yeah, fair. But I literally never got it. And some people get it every single year.
Yeah.
Like, they just couldn't even imagine, like, not getting. Which, now that I've got it, I was like, you know what? Like, because I got it for free. Like, it's just, it's free. And I'm like, well, you know.
But I never get the flu. Who gets the flu? I mean,
like, old people can get it, and like older people like die from it. I was like, well, even like, I mean, I'll just be sick as a dog for a couple of days, but if I can keep someone else, because like, I don't know, I kind of think of them like, I don't know.
So I'll.
But also, I've only done it once, so I cannot say that. Oh my gosh, I'm like so good. I've gotten it once, but then it got me thinking, I guess. And then it's free. That is nice.
Well, your comments have got me thinking.
Well, I'm one of the weird people that gets it every year.
Yeah, because I get it every year, too.
The one year I didn't get it, I got the flu. So I get it every year just because of that.
But if you get the flu, you get to stay home and watch the Lord of the Rings trilogy. So for me, it's like win-win, you know?
I went to the hospital for multiple days from the flu, so what? I would get it every year. Yeah, wow. I went to the Women's March in D.C. for January, like 2 years ago, and I had a beer the night before, like one single beer, and I wake up the next morning, and I like threw up like four times, and I was like, "Wow, I cannot handle my alcohol." I was so concerned. Yeah, I was like, "What the heck?" And then more times, and I was like, "Dang, yeah, I must have like eaten something bad." And so we start marching. I'm holding my signs.
You're we're like chanting, everybody.
Getting every single woman sick at the march. I'm sure. And then
Rom
I ended
took
up,
out the women's yeah, march.
That's why 2020s was really small. It was small, my fault. Yeah, I went to the hospital. I ended up throwing up like 35 times.
Oh my god!
And they were like, "We think you have the flu," but I didn't even have a fever or anything. So
you know, that's strange. We were in Mexico when this happened, but it happened to my daughter. She wasn't warm. You know, there was no fever or anything like that, but she wouldn't stop barfing. Yeah. And it's to the point where we took her in because we thought she's going to get dehydrated and some bad things are going to happen.
Yeah,
and they gave her some kind of tummy stuff and who knows what was in there.
Yeah, they didn't even give me anything for the flu. They literally just gave me stuff to like stop, like
that's right,
hydrate me and like stop me throwing up. Yeah. And then I was fine. But
that's what they did with her too.
I guess my thing with the flu shot has been I've always talked to people who get the flu shot and then get the flu. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I just can't do both.
Right.
Why don't we just
flush you get the flu if you did get the flu shot?
Some people have. They so you can just get maybe it's the not the right strain that they vaccinate for, or
well,
maybe they are a weakened, immune system.
Well, this sounds like a dream come true. I can get the shot. That way I don't infect other people. I'm being like a good steward.
Human. And, like these young 20-year-olds.
And then I also get the flu, so I get to stay home.
And well, watch. I think if you get the flu, you're still contagious.
Plus, you have kids at home. It's not like you get to relax. I'm sure if you're sick, you're still being mommy.
Yeah. There's no time off. You're right. Oh, gosh, that sucks. You're right. Being sick.
And being mommy? And
that's worse.
Way worse.
Way worse.
Okay.
Oh, never mind.
Let's flush that injustice down.
Flush it down.
That's hopefully Randall still put the toilet sound in there for us.
Oh, well, yeah.
I'll do it just in case.
That was excellent.
Well, let's...
You want me to... Okay, no, you can go.
Okay, thanks.
Even though it says my name. So, we know, whatever.
Let's dive a little deeper, people. One of the things I thought we could talk about is... How has surfing outside your comfort zone affected your progression of surfing? Like maybe Jules could start because this was, I think, am I right? Was this your first surf trip off of our area, out of our area?
Yes, you're right about that.
Okay. And so would you say that, or how would you say surfing outside your comfort zone affected your surfing?
I mean, going down there, I was definitely a little nervous just because I had never been to the environment before, but I was like really the whole trip blew my expectations out of the water, honestly. And the waves down there were so fun. And I was a little nervous to surf on the reef before because we're here with our beach bottom.
Our
down
soft
here.
Little yeah. beach, and sandy so bottoms.
When I fall or if I get hit by a wave, like I'm like, oh, I'll just hit the sand or whatever, not have to worry about getting cut up by the reef. But it really wasn't as big of a factor as I thought it was going to be. I was just always very conscious of that. And I mean, I was honestly like just very excited to be out there with like some pumping waves and just different rides, longer sections, and working on mainly the right point break so I got my rights down the way I wanted it. But I just really enjoyed it. Like, I think it's opened my eyes to just wanting to do more travel just because of how positive of an experience it was. And it makes me excited to, I don't know, maybe I'll be a little world traveler like Grom. We'll see. I got to have the funds for it, but.
I was going to.
We're getting you a job, right?
Yeah, you're hooking me up.
Yeah.
I think for me, the best part about traveling for surfing, it makes you, and I don't think we really got this too much in Puerto Rico on our last trip, but some of the places I've been are like, it'll be way too big, like way out of your comfort zone. People are not super excited for you to be there. And I think it makes you kind of fearless for your home break. Like now, whenever the waves get big, in Wrightsville, I'm like, okay, well, one time, you know, and like, I'm like, I'm not scared of these, like, you know, maybe a little bit heavier, windier waves here because I got thrown like in New Zealand on the rocks. And it's like, well, I survived that, so I'll be fine. Mm-hmm. And I think it kind of makes you like step up your like, you go for the big waves. You're not afraid to like get in like the peak with like the like really good guys or something like that. And it makes you step up a little bit and be like, I'm fine. I can do it.
So yeah. It stretched your parameters of what you are going for.
Absolutely.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think like going when we traveled, like if you're on a questionable wave and you like you're in like priority or like you're going for it and it doesn't look good, you got to go for it. Because if you pull out, like, little bit of respect will be lost and people will step in. So I think that transitioning back to here, like I had that mindset going down there that I was going to commit 100% to every wave I went to, regardless of the outcome. When I came back here, like when we got in a really crowded lineup, I was like, I'm going for it. I got wrecked a few times, but hey, I got some really good rides out of it. And I kind of just like set my rules out there for people. And they knew that if they saw me go for a wave, I was going to go for it.
Mm-hmm. And you don't lose respect for trying.
Definitely.
Right? So that's okay because everyone eats it.
Right. Right.
Nobody out there is not eating it.
You always feel bad. Like you feel like if you blow the wave, you're going to lose respect. But really, definitely pulling out is more of a like, oh.
Yeah, you quit.
Yeah, right. It's a stinker.
Yeah.
Go face first or don't go.
Definitely went face first a few times. Flop action.
Well, does that make you a little nervous at all, Charlotte?
Yeah, a little bit. I surfed one time in Australia. I didn't know how to surf very well then. But yeah, I am definitely nervous, but I know in the past, like even just with like bigger breaks here, I've never regretted going for it. And right. I remember when I was like learning how to surf still, and I was still just like really struggling, like dropping in. And this girl told me, and I never forgot it. She's like, Charlotte, if you don't feel like you're about to nosedive and die, then you never caught any wave. Like you're just never going to catch a wave. And I was like, dang, you're right. And so and it's going to be the same here, except the stakes are going to be higher.
Yeah, but you heard what Jules said. She felt similarly that the stakes were going to be high with the reef and everything, but it's all right.
Yeah
it turned out okay.
Yeah, I think the reef would be the one thing.
Thanks,
like, Trump. Here, I was thinking, like, you have to work hard to get hurt here. Like, someone's got to run into you and, like, or, like, hit the pier, I feel like, here. And so having, like, not, like, this cushy sandy bottom you can just walk around on is going to be, like, the only thing that I'll just go, ooh.
You know what, though? A little bit of danger is going to heighten your potential because you're going to be super focused and trying not to get hurt, you know, and just maybe more vigilant. I always perform best, even though I'm not a surfer like you girls, whatever else I'm doing, I perform best when there's a little pressure applied.
Absolutely. So, you get you get a little bit of adrenaline. And like something I'll say is like, whenever I surf with Charlotte, like we chatted up, we're like, you know, having fun. It's a little less of that and a little more like surfing here on a big day where you're more focused. Mm-hmm. And also, I think something important for like anyone traveling anywhere to learn is like when you fall, you starfish. You do not like dive into the water. You belly flop as hard as you can so that you don't go deep. And I think that's you should do that everywhere that you're not familiar with. So
you'll learn. That's great advice.
Yeah, that is really good. That's what Grom gave, some really good advice, and Laurel. They both gave like great advice going out there. So I felt like I had like the tools and some of the intangibles that I needed to go out there. I was like ready to get out there and figure it out for myself. But Charlotte, I think you're gonna do great. Like it was such a great experience, honestly. Like you'll do great.
Mm-hmm. Laurel and I learned those ones the hard way, I'm sure.
Well, actually, Jules was the only one of us that hit the reef.
Yeah,
I did.
She nicked it on the small day?
On the smallest, tiniest
waves. It was on a day that, it wasn't even like big waves. We went out there one evening, beautiful sunset, like just microwaves were out there. Like it had to have been like shin high.
But because of that, you probably weren't focusing.
No, I was just messing around. Yeah, exactly. I was just messing around with everyone. And there was a part of the reef that was sticking up and I just grazed it, foot, shin, knee, grazed it. And I was like, man, like, I didn't want to come out here, guys. Like y'all dragged me out here for these log waves.
You know what though? Even in freediving, that's when people get hurt, when they're doing the easy stuff, the stuff they do all the time.
So what kind of
taking it seriously?
I guess I'm curious with freediving, I mean, other than drowning, what can you do that, you know, hurts or messes you up, or are some dumb mistakes?
There's maybe? Really, that's why freediving is so dangerous, is mm-hmm. because there's no room for error. You make a dumb mistake, you're dead, basically.
It's the bends, right? Drowning in the bends?
No, we don't worry so much about getting bent the way we dive, because the rate is pretty
modulated.
Moderate of ascent and descent. Plus, we're not breathing compressed gas down there. But you would be worried about drowning, because people do it alone, because they're thinking, oh, it's shallow. You know, we've seen many people die because they're doing like easy 40-foot dives and they don't think they need a buddy because they do it all the time kind of thing. So it's just being complacent. It's the deep guys, the guys that are, you know, in competition and doing extreme stuff.
Like
they're
you.
Not getting hurt.
Well, because you have a team.
Well, you're doing everything right mm-hmm. at that point. You're doing everything right. And you have all this safety redundancy and everything. So it's a go.
Cool.
Shall we move on?
Oh, yeah. You have a question?
Well, I want to skip this travel experience. I want to talk about getting to focus on just surfing when you travel to surf, instead of balancing the rest of your life. So looking at your watch and being like, oh, I only got an hour left because I got to get to work. I mean, for me, when I'm out diving, I have success when I'm in this immersive experience. So I'm just there for a month and all I'm doing is diving and I don't have to worry about anything else. So that's got to really improve your
focus.
Yeah. And improve your surf, right? When you're not thinking about school.
When we could just
work.
I mean, when we were down there, it was, I guess, not the number one priority. Yeah, it was. The number one priority was surfing.
You surf, you eat, you rest.
Yeah, and we didn't, like, you know, my husband wasn't down there, so there wasn't us time. It was a girls' trip, girls' surf trip, so we were all about surfing. It was mm-hmm. the sun wasn't up yet. We were cruising. We were already strapping the boards. Everything was, you know, the next surf. Or this surf. Not that we weren't in the moment, because we were.
Because you had to be.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that, like, I kind of what you said about, like, having, like, a whole month or something, even just a couple days, like, it really takes the stress off of having to please other people or, you know, show up on time and stuff like that. But I'm never on time. It's because I was surfing. No, I wasn't. But I think that like when I was in New Zealand, I had like a good 3 weeks of I didn't know anyone. I didn't have classes yet. And I was able to surf completely. And I think that's the best, because like in the real world, like you can't go when the tide is perfect because like you have work or like, you know, you have to mm-hmm.
Other responsibilities.
Right. Other responsibilities. And I think that when you can get in like the mindset of just surfing, like, OK, you stretch when you get home and then like you have a good dinner and you like base your dinner like off of what's going to help you tomorrow. And then you don't go out drinking or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think that like it makes you feel like Jules can speak to this. It makes you feel like more of an athlete rather than someone with a hobby, you know?
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. I love when we're doing our thing and we're in the zone and everything is revolving around that. Because, you know, it's for a temporary amount of time. Mm-hmm. It's for a month or 2 months or however long we're going to do it. 3 weeks, whatever.
Right.
But I enjoy that structure and I enjoy... Yeah,
competing.
Yeah, competing. I love to... be competitive also, and to insert that athleticism and think about and you really kind of get in tune with your body too. You feel one beer, even well for diving anyway, I notice when I drink a beer the night before. Here now
I can drink a beer. I thought you had said that, you know, when y'all are traveling after your dive, your
That's
breakfast
right.
you might have a
right after the dive.
Or something.
Half. Right after your dive. Yeah. For energy. So you don't die. But it's nice. It's a nice change to be so hyper-focused, because I feel like in the rest of our lives, we're just pulled and torn and...
busy.
Busy. Yeah.
Ugh. Well, you're training for, you know, you're doing your competition dives. So that's your career is, you know, whether it's a world record or a national record, you go in this zone just like any athlete for a month or two where you're in training.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But you experienced that and you just spoke to it.
Yeah.
And you did, and the basketball, I'm sure it's very similarly. I mean,
definitely. Yeah. Just, yeah. Like my experience with when we went down there is like, no, we're talking about like time limit that we're there and really kind of like immerse ourselves in everything. Like when I knew we were going to go down there for 4 or 5 days, like as soon as Laurel said surf trip, like that was it for me. Like I was like, I'm going to surf like the entire time. They're going to have to like drag me out of the water. Like, and I'd be in the water and looking around for everyone and they'd be gone. I'd be like, they just leave me in the water. And then I'd start to like stress a little bit. Then I'd be, see them on the beach. I'd be like, okay, they're going to have to come pull me out of the water when they want to leave, which is okay. But like really after that, we would regain our energy. We'd eat, like fuel up. We'd go back, take a nap, and then like rest up, get ready for the next session. And that's kind of just the mindset I had about it. Just the waves are so, there's a better break down there than generally what we have. So I wanted to take full advantage of it. And like, I wanted to be surfed out by the time we left. Like,
were you?
I was. I can always go for more, but I did get my good fix in. I was excited.
I think we should ask Charlotte again. What are you doing to prepare for this trip?
sleeping.
Baby eating right, girl.
Get your cardio in.
Oh, my. Yeah, I have thought about that because I haven't surfed, like, as continually. Because, like, at the beginning of the summer, I was like, wow. Like, I'm at, like, peak upper body strength that I've ever been at just because, like, this summer I surfed, you know, most days. I haven't surfed that much recently. I'm like, oh, shoot. I'm going to die.
Push-ups.
Well,
yeah. Get you some push-ups.
I think this is kind of funny because I thought, okay, I'm taking these 20-something-year-olds down to Puerto Rico. And
or 19, you know.
This time 19. but I was like, oh, man. Okay, good. There's a 10 p.m. curfew in Puerto Rico. That saves me. And then I was like, okay, well, if they really want to go out to, you know, do a little party, and I'm just going to send them down, you know, a block down the beach from us is a little bar, hotel resort or whatever. And I thought, well, if they drank too much, then they could just stumble down the beach and I wouldn't have to worry about them.
These girls are straight.
Dude, I drank more than they drank.
Shocker.
I would have a glass of wine at night and be like, anybody want some? I ended up giving the bottle. Well, no, I poured out the bottle and gave the rest of the beers to the neighbors.
Oh, my God.
If I didn't know I was going back in 3 weeks, I would have just left it all in the fridge.
I also think that, like, we were all maybe tried to, like, be even better than normal just to, like, not cause any issues. Because I know for me, I was like, normally I probably would have had, like, a couple margaritas at dinner. But I was like, this isn't my place. I'll be nice to Laurel.
They tried to make a good impression.
Yeah, we wanted to get invited back.
And you're past that. You're past the good impression.
But now that we know what the real expectations were, I guess next time. Yeah, I'm just kidding.
Oh, I hope that 10 p.m. curfew stays forever.
That is nice, though, the forced.
Well, okay. I'd say we kind of hit on everything.
I do, too. Our last thing was, is this the best option for East Coast? I mean, y'all talked about that during post-session notes pretty much, but sounds like Puerto Rico is the best option if you're an East Coast surfer, yeah?
I think Grom could speak to that.
Yeah. Or Bermuda.
Yeah, I think I haven't been to Bermuda. I'm actually going there for Christmas, so I'll keep you updated. But I really like Mexico as well. But I think something like we didn't mention, well, you said safer, you know, Nicaragua, Mexico, those places are great for surfing. I think,
but
like,
it's not
the
so safe.
It's not so safe. Mm-hmm. Both times when I was down there, we had issues, like, not even surfing, but just like around town. Like, we got pulled over and had to like bribe a police officer like a lot of money to just like not go to jail. Mm. So, like, stuff like that. Puerto Rico seems safer. Mm. It's smaller. It's more familiar. Mexico was a little scary. We stayed
in like West Coast, though.
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm, but yeah. It wasn't that far of a plane ride, you know, well, at least from Florida, it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And I think that like plane ride does help, but when you get down to it, it's really 45 minutes more on a plane. It's not mm-hmm. the hugest deal to go to the West Coast of Mexico. Mm-hmm.
Unless you have a direct flight.
Right. Unless you have a direct flight.
Well, yeah. And I'll say the first year we went to Mexico, the Longboard Club, Wrightsville Beach Longboard Club, went twice, 2 years in a row. And the second year that we went was the beginning of all the not gangs, but what is it? The not the mafia, but what is the down there at the,
huh? The cartel?
The cartel. Yeah, it's the cartels. And instead of us feeling super safe, there was the federales everywhere stopping people. Luckily, we had Tio Tony with us, who's fluent. So he kind of joked with them, but the guy didn't laugh. But Tony, yeah. You know, so we kept going. But
it depends on Mexico, because we spent a lot of time in the East Coast in the Yucatan, and it feels real awesome.
Oh, it does.
Safe, okay. Yeah. And cool. And the only time we've had trouble was also West Coast in La Paz. We had a cop stop us and he was trying to extort us and we just told him no.
Well, good for you. The yeah. only reason I think we got out of it is my dad looks basically like any ethnicity that people assume he is. So everyone thought he was Mexican when we were in Mexico. He's not. So I think we got out of it because they just assumed he was a local. And he just like sat there and smiled and just didn't speak. And then they were like, oh, he's local. But he's not. So
yeah,
I think that's the only reason. I'm pretty sure we would have been in hot water if it was just a bunch of white people.
Were y'all doing something wrong?
Or no? No. Oh, okay. I mean, maybe speeding a little bit, but nothing. Nothing illegal, I don't think.
I think it's worse to give him the money.
Well, then they know they got you.
But well, do they?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know. We were told by people that live there, like,
give it to them.
Yeah. If they ask for money, you would rather give them money than
give them 100.
Where were you?
Have 100 handy.
Because we definitely told him no. And then the guy goes back and he starts doing all this stuff. Really? And then he comes back and he's like, oh, no, you got to do this and you're going to have to follow me. And we're like, no, we. No.
They're brave. Y'all were broke and brave.
I had ran.
I think we were on our way to Sayulita. And I don't know. I just remember, like, we were told by someone local, yeah. like, if they asked, just do it. And I think it might have been different. I was, like, kind of young then. And we were with other like younger people. Well, I was, like, 16. Oh. So, like, 16-year-old Grom in a Mexican prison would have gone well. Yeah.
What could go wrong?
Yeah, right.
What could go wrong?
Oh man.
All right. Okay. Cool. Yeah, I like that. I like Puerto Rico's, but yeah, it has that safety net. Sounds good.
And they're real welcoming, I would say.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, we do get a little break because we're women.
Yep.
Yeah.
And, hey. And you know what? We'll take it.
Thank you. I'll take it. Right. Yeah.
You're welcome. Okay. So we're drifting into some God waters, and I just thought since this will be the Christmas episode.
Christmas.
That we could talk about what our favorite holiday Carol is.
Oh, that's easy. I got it.
Oh, good. Go.
Can I go first?
Yeah.
I love Emmanuel.
Oh,
and you know, remember Amanda Doherty from Live Oak?
Yeah.
The first time I that song, she sang it at church one day, and it just really resonated with me.
Like, what about it?
Well, it's very haunting sound. Mm-hmm. It's freaking awesome. And then I got my kids into it. I'm like, guys, listen to this. And they love it too. They want to hear it all the time.
That's
Yeah, it's a good one.
Can you give us a little tune?
Yeah, like I can't even bring it to.
You know. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel. Who mourns in the exile here? Right?
I don't know.
I was awesome.
I think finally the mics get used.
Yeah, yeah, thanks, Grom.
You didn't know you all have to sing whatever carol awesome. You come up with, right?
What's yours?
Mary, did you know?
Oh,
sing it.
Oh,
sing it.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
I don't think
Mary,
I
know. Did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
That, like, acapella thing.
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? And this is the line that gets me. This child that you've delivered will soon deliver you.
Oh, God. That is touching.
Oh my
I'm
God.
Crying.
Your daughter.
Aw, Ashley.
Let's move on.
Okay. All right. Charlotte, do you have a favorite Christmas carol?
I feel bad that you went first because O Come Emmanuel, for the same reason, it's kind of haunting. And just like the... I sang it on Sunday for church.
She sings at
you
church?
You sing?
A little bit.
Okay. Well, why do we have Ashley singing it?
This is
But I played it on piano afterwards, and I was like, dang, this is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
And it's easy. It's also like we sang like six choruses, and that's not even all of them. It just goes on and on. And also the thing about Christmas songs like that, like, they were written so long ago. Like, mm-hmm. I don't even know when that was written, but I, like, if you read, like, the language in it, it's, like, old English. Like,
that is cool.
Like, they're usually not written in English, like, German or something like that. They're freaking old.
Ancient.
Like, but, yes, ancient.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, is she going to sing it?
Wait, we'll come back to that. We'll come back to that.
What church does Charlotte go to?
Yeah, what church do you go to, Charlotte?
I'm kind of floating right now, but that time I sang it was at Christ the King, okay. Which is downtown.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
What church do you go to?
Live Oak. That's how we
Have I seen you there? I went there a couple weeks in a row.
Recently?
Yeah.
Because I've been pretty spotty since
COVID.
Yeah.
Basically.
I understand. Yeah, I went like 3 or 4 weeks in a row, like probably in November.
Maybe. Okay.
October,
cool.
Maybe.
Oh.
Not sure.
Probably. Surprised I didn't see.
Yeah, I remember I didn't see you then.
Okay.
Because I would have recognized you.
Okay. Calling me out. Jules and Grom.
Oh, man. Well, I'm going to be a little bit more, I guess you're going to see my age with mine. I don't know, like Jingle Bells or like Deck the Halls. You know, I actually really like Wham, Last Christmas. It's just a, it's a banger.
Last Christmas, I gave you my heart.
Laurel's on it. I don't
have the next day, you threw it away.
Get it.
Mm-mm-mm. Give it to someone special.
Yeah, just it's just a holiday banger, like holiday classic right there.
Oh, absolutely.
Classic.
I get hated on a little bit.
She's using
like
the word classic loosely.
Yeah.
But that's okay it is awesome.
You're right. It's not a traditional classic, but
it's no Bing Crosby.
No, you're right.
But it is cool.
It gets the holiday party started, like, yeah. You know, people hear Wham, they're like, Wham! Like, let's go.
Christmas. What's that George Michael?
Yeah.
One.
Christmas?
No, it's a Christmas song. Yeah. Crap. I'll think of it.
All right, yeah. Grom. Super. Hit us with your.
Okay.
And she'll sing it.
Well, okay, I don't know if I can sing this one. Oh. My favorite is the Charlie Brown Christmas Tree one, because I used to watch the Charlie Brown Christmas episode when I was younger.
It's
every
awesome.
Christmas. So good. Yeah,
so good.
And my dad is so dorky, and he would sing like the I don't know what it's called, falsetto, like,
yeah,
it's,
yeah,
like, Christmas time. But my dad will sing it like, I have a deep voice, he sings it like 3 octaves higher than me, and it blows my mind that he can hit those notes. And like literally every Christmas, like, he'll just walk in and he'll start doing like the little Charlie Brown shake where they just like sway.
They also do this one.
Right. Yes. And my mom can play that on piano. We're just like a very Charlie Brown household.
Family.
My brother's name is Charlie.
Yes. Yeah.
That song is the sound of Christmas in my home too.
Definitely.
It really is.
Grom, literally, as soon as you started singing it, I like, this whole soundtrack just started going. Yeah, and I like remember the little Christmas tree with like its 3 pine.
You know what's so awesome about that? Is that Charlie Brown was empty that whole episode, and everybody thought there was something wrong with him. Mm-hmm. And then Linus. Yeah.
He brings the
he
word.
He brings it home.
He preaches it.
Yeah.
Okay, let's close it out. I want to thank you girls for coming. Ladies, this was a pleasure to have you on the surf trip, and a pleasure to be taking you, Charlotte and Jules, again. And thanks for coming on here. And Charlotte, why don't you close us out with a little bit of...
Oh, my gosh. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel.
You stopped before the best part.
I don't know the rest of that verse. I want to hit on what I don't... There's like so many chord verses. I don't even know what that one is.
What about the chorus?
Ani, get in here. My little girl's here. She'll share it with
you. Hey,
me.
Ani.
Ani, we need you.
They might be outside. Okay, I'm going to hit.
Okay, yeah, thanks, girls. And I want to tell you, I had way more fun than I expected to have.
Loser.
Wow. That's just, you think you're going to be an awesome group? What's up with that?
I didn't know what to expect, girls. I seriously didn't.
Give us your first impression real quick.
First impressions.
Well, Laurel and I are different in that she just wants to have fun all the time. And I want to talk to people, get real serious and deep into it, you know, and really dig it up.
And I'm like, it's just going to be fun.
I thought it was going to be much more superficial than it was. Oh, okay, good. So I thought these girls nailed it.
Despite their friend Laurel.
Despite Laurel, right.
Well, it ended up being a lot of fun. And I just want to say, like, huge shout out to you guys for, like, bringing us on the show. And huge shout out to Laurel for setting up the whole PR thing. Like, it was a great experience. Aww. I'm so glad that I met you in the water a couple months ago. Aww. Couldn't be better.
I was going to say, Jules, the reason that all those girls came was when I first met Jules, after I met Jules in the water, every time I'd see her, she'd be in the parking lot. She'd be, Laurel!
It might have been like 6:15 or 6:30 in the morning. So I'm sorry to anyone that lives right around Southend if they heard that.
They're up anyway.
Yeah. Yep. All right.
All right. Thanks, you guys.